evening, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic night of Fandom Access. I am your ever-faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. And looky, one of my co-hosts is here already. Yay. Good evening.
Hello. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. And now Karen is being let in. Hello, Karen.
Hello, how are you guys? Happy Tuesday.
Good.
Happy Tuesday.
It's nice to be here and talk to you guys, as always.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Everybody having a good week? I know Jamie's having a busy week.
Jamie had a very good day. Jamie had a good day, though. She got to talk to Morgan Freeman.
Yes, I got to talk to Morgan Freeman today for a moment, which was pretty cool. But my back is killing me. I'm not used to sitting at a computer, which is bad. I should be sitting at a desk more often, but I've been sitting at the desk all day, and I'm like sitting here like, ow, I sat too long. But he's doing a show on History Channel, Great Escapes, which is about prison escapes. So, yes, I talked to him, among other people, earlier today for a bit. The other show that, not necessarily sci-fi, but the other show I really like that's coming, I don't know about that show because I haven't seen it, but the one show that I really like that's coming out is AMC. It's called Ragdoll. It's a thriller. It's based on a book, and it's about they find body parts from different people sewed together into one body. That's why they call it the rag doll.
Oh, my God. That's horrible.
Does not sound like something I would normally watch, but no, it's like a detective show. It's pretty good. I've seen that, and I also have seen My Life is Murder, which is on Acorn, which is also really good, although neither of those are sci-fi. But so that was what my day today was about. I've been watching a lot of stuff.
Yeah, for TCA, right? Those were all on TCA today?
Yes.
On the TCA tour, yeah.
Today was AMC and A&E. Yes. And tomorrow is National Geographic and Disney, and we are decorating cupcakes tomorrow for Disney. So.
What are they saying? Well, cupcakes, and you're going to decorate them together?
I have buttercream icing. Huh?
Like the journalist and the talent, you're going to decorate cupcakes together?
No, I'm not exactly sure. The Disney panel, it's a demo of some kind. They said not to eat the cupcakes, to save them for the panel to decorate. Disney, among other things, sent us today some cupcakes and buttercream icing in a can, which I've already sampled.
Oh, nice.
So I'm high on buttercream sugar high there.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
So that's tomorrow.
That's neat.
But yeah, pretty cool. But they've been great. But so anyway, my point is what I was going to say is I've been watching a lot of different screeners and things. Although that hasn't left a lot of time to watch the stuff that I want to. I mean, not that I didn't want to watch the stuff. I don't mean it like that. But I mean, you know, I haven't been able to watch a lot of the stuff I would normally choose to watch.
Your normal stuff, yeah.
A lot of that.
Right. Yeah.
But I did watch Roswell and What If tonight. Although I could not get in. I think I just honestly, my brain just wasn't in it. I had a hard time getting into What If. But I also think that I just didn't like appreciate it because I never saw most of Civil War. And I, as much as I like Marvel now, I have never been a Captain America fan. I just never have been. He's like one of my favorites. And we can get to that when we talk about that show.
We'll talk about them, but that wasn't Civil War. That's supposed to be the first Captain America movie.
Okay, thought that was
Captain America,
the first
Avenger. It's called Captain America, the First Avenger. That movie.
We'll get into that more after.
Part of that, none of Civil War then. Of that.
Yeah.
I didn't see Civil War either. So
I don't really know.
I don't really see part of that. But anyway. Okay, well, do you want to talk about the real estate first?
Let's do that.
And then I was going to say, I guess next week we'll be doing Walking Dead. I was thinking it was on, but it hasn't been. It's only been on AMC Plus, right?
Right. Walking Dead is on this Sunday.
I just can't keep days straight right now. I have so many different shows in my head. I'm, like, trying to keep them all.
I'm sure, yeah.
There. Oh, I should mention, because they did have the finale of Beast Must Die did air on AMC. I put the other part of Billy Howell's interview up. But I did also want to mention, if people want to send me questions, I'm talking to Kevin Alejandro for Lucifer on Monday.
Yay.
So that's happening too.
Cool.
All right. Would you want to start with the real estate then?
Sure. This week's episode was about they rented out a house. I don't know how they came to – somehow our real estate people are agents, and they – for this house that they're able to rent out, and they rented it to, like, a hip-hop guy. And the house was haunted, of course. So I don't know if you watched it recently. I just watched it earlier today, so it's fresh in my mind. Yeah. It was haunted by a little kid. And this episode, really most of the episode was devoted to Father Fred, researching the history of the house.
Phil.
Father Phil?
Phil.
Father Phil was researching the house. Used to be a Catholic home it was run by the Catholic Church, and it was a home for, like, unwed mothers. And there was
children.
This episode was kind of, a lot about that was kind of weird to me. And what did you think of this episode?
Trying to remember. I like that we got more backstory on him. I was trying to think, though, the ghost wasn't bad in this one, was it? Am I misremembering? I don't think
it seemed to be mischievous, but then it started to get very violent at the end there when it was like, play with me, and it had the guy, the main character, whose name I forget, but the hip-hop star, was, like, locked in the studio, and it was like the ghost was, like, causing, like
right,
it did appear,
like, the ghost kind of wanted its mother, right, if I remember rightly.
Well, there's a point where one of that nun, who was, like, the nun that used to be in charge of the home, she said, like, oh, you know, he was a very nice boy, except when he wanted you to play with him, or he wanted a hug, and he wanted attention, and then he was, like, kind of a handful. So I guess I took it that, like, you know, the ghost was always like, play with me, and then the guy wouldn't play with him, so the ghost was getting kind of violent there at the end. It was not really – I felt like this episode dwelt
– kind of sad, though, too, because, his mother was gone. He did want his mother, but he was able to move on. I remember Luke connected with him at the end.
So,
helped him pass on.
Well, there were some issues with this episode, and one was, to me, the idea that this nun who worked at this home for, like, 30-some-odd years, and it was 30 years ago, remembered this one kid and the one mother so specifically. But she said that the mother was, on her way to pick him up and was killed in a car accident, right? And that's why the kid
right.
was never...
Right, although you might remember it because of that, I guess, maybe. But, I see what you mean.
I guess. I like the part where Luke was able to connect with this ghost, like, kind of because Luke lost his own mother, and Luke knows what it's like for a little boy to, like, miss his mother and want his mother... And she's not, you know. And then at the end, like, you know, Luke, he seems so completely emotionally broken because, like, his mother didn't want, like, his mother's a jerk, right? And his mother, the ghost mother is like, yeah, I never wanted you. You're a total pain in my ass or whatever, right? So, I mean, it was kind of heartbreaking there at the end. Like, that part was good that they used this to drive some of Luke's story, right? I guess I just felt like pacing. I just feel like this episode, like, there's, like, very little of the ghost, and then it's all wrapped up in the last 7 minutes of the show. And I felt like the script devoted too much time to the history. Oh my God, what is that? That was loud in my ear.
Sorry, my phone
dinged. There was a loud beep. They devoted a lot of time to Father Phil researching the history, and Father Phil's like, I mean, I wouldn't call it a crisis of faith. I mean, it's a little bit of a crisis.
No, they kind of didn't accept him because he was gay. I mean, that was
that's not really. So I don't know about that. I mean, yes. I mean, that's not really why he.
Experience. I'm not saying, you know,
yeah, I mean,
it's all like that, but that was.
I mean, it's my understanding that he left the church because he, like, fell in love and wanted to pursue this relationship, right? And, yeah, I mean, I don't know how long ago he left the church. I mean, there are, like, you're allowed to be gay. You're allowed to be a gay priest in the church.
Yes, but I think that, or at least this, I got the opinion that church, I'm not saying all churches and all the faith.
Well, he's supposed to be a Catholic. He's supposed to have been a Catholic. He's supposed to have been a Catholic priest. I felt it. So... I felt it well. So he's supposed to be a Catholic priest. Yes. Yeah. So, you know, I went to a high school that was on the grounds of a convent, and I have to say, across all of television and movies, nuns don't dress like that. I haven't seen a nun dressed like that in like 40. Like like when I was in high school in the 80s, like only the nuns who were like 90 dressed like that. Right? Like, nuns have been wearing knee-length dress habits for a long time. But anyway, I felt like, so when I say this, you know, so I'm a Catholic, but I'm not saying this, like, in defense of the many faults of the church that are explored in this episode. I'm saying that I thought as a piece of television, it devoted, like, 50 minutes to, like, Father Phil's, like, exploration of this dark history, which actually was very timely. I don't know if you've been reading in the news, like, they've been finding in Canada a lot of, like, schools for Indigenous children where they're finding a lot of bodies on the grounds. And these were, like, first of all, it was a little bit timely. But I just mean as a piece of television, it devoted, like, 50 minutes to, like, or a lot of the show to, like, Phil's exploration of the history and the faults of the church and his own, like, crisis and whatever. And, I mean, that's interesting, but it came in this giant, like, chunk, and then, like, very little devoted to the actual ghost story that was playing out on the screen. That's one fault I had.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Like, I want the backstory, and I liked getting the backstory, but I see what you're saying. The way that they did it, maybe they should have, I don't know, made it more integrated into the story a little different, I guess.
Like, spread it out a
because
little bit.
Because it did just... Yeah, well, because it seems like they kind of sidetrack too much, I guess, would be the best way to say it, in order to tell it. Like, it didn't really connect with the story as much as maybe it should have.
There was just so much of it. And like, I think the idea of a place that was a home for mothers and children who were not accepted by society, and, you know, there definitely were abuses in the Catholic Church, particularly in Ireland. There was a big scandal about these kind of homes and how abusive they were. And just really, you know, I'm not even sure that this episode was implying that the people were abused so much at this home.
Well,
as much as it was just
that they got them to give up their children and made it like they were shunned because they were unwed and...
Well, and you know, so the nun makes a point, she's like, it was a different time, and truly in the 60s, you were shunned by society. Like, if you were an unwed mother, you had to, like, go, right, whatever. I just, like, I think that it's an interesting, like, premise to talk about this kind of a place, and I think it's interesting to look at, like, Phil's history, but there was just so much of it in one dump, and it just, it's fine, but it took away from... the ghost story was very thin and it wasn't, there was not much to it and it wasn't very good. And then they tried to dump Luke's trauma into it also. And it became like, there was very little space in this episode for a well-developed mystery.
Yeah. That's what I said. It's not that you didn't want the backstory. It's just kind of the way they delivered it. I think a little bit, like it just didn't.
Well, they delivered too much of it.
It wasn't necessary the way they told it. Like, if they told it maybe in a little bit different way, they could have integrated it better.
I mean, an hour of television gives you, like, 42 minutes, and, like, it felt to me like 30 minutes of it was devoted to this. Like, I also found it interesting the part where, you know, Phil's talking to his partner, whose name I forget, and he talks about how he misses the church. And there's a lot of things he misses about, you know, it's funny because there's a lot of things he misses. So it appears that he's not just no longer a priest, but that he's broken with the church, because the things that he says he misses aren't, he doesn't ever mention like missing being a priest, which was kind of shocking to me. Like, he mentions missing like the community and the ritual and a lot of things that, I mean, I understand what he's talking about, but he never mentions like missing being a priest really. Right. But that was kind of interesting to me to see that, you know, he's given, yeah, I like that kind of backstory. I just felt like there was a ton of it. And then to glom like Luke onto it also, it's an interesting story. Like, this story they were telling, I see the connection to Phil because of the Catholic thing, but I really see the connection to Luke because it's a child without a mother, right? And uh-huh. And they could have given this whole, I mean, Luke's barely in it at all. Like, there's a long piece of it where it's Susan's story. Like, Susan's the one who's on site, right? And she really has almost mm-hmm. nothing to do in this episode except just be there, right?
Yeah, you're kind of right. I'm trying to remember back. Yeah, it just didn't mesh well
it wasn't
together.
Great.
Some
yeah.
of the other.
Yeah. And then they tack on this scene at the end where Luke is talking to his father, who also is a total jerk, right? Like, his father's a total jerk in the end, and he's trying to ask about his mother, and the father, like, only, like, dodges it with snarky answers, and then Luke's like, forget me, leaves, and the father, like, the father's a total jerk also, the ghost of the father.
Well, I got the opinion, and again, this is after having watched it months ago, and I'm trying to remember back then and remember the order, but
mm-hmm.
I don't think it was necessary, and maybe I'm wrong, but I'm trying to remember, but I don't think necessarily it was all amicable with his father either. I mean, I think maybe his father was hurt too and doesn't necessarily have the best memories of everything, or at least that's kind of how I took it. Not that necessarily he should have reacted the way he did. I'm trying to remember exactly what happened.
No, I mean,
I'm just saying
his son,
it wasn't just Luke that was hurt.
I mean, Luke, who is clearly in pain, is asking questions about his mother and about the past and why she left and what happened. And the father, like, doesn't, like, not only does he not answer it, but he gives flippant responses. Like, he doesn't say, like, this is pain. Like, he's a total jerk. And then Luke is like, whatever, and he leaves. And then the father's like, oh, come on, don't be like that. And I thought the father was really a jerk in that scene.
Yeah.
You know, it was like that's how I read that scene. Like, Luke is clearly like he's trying to have a serious conversation and ask serious questions, and he's clearly very upset, and the father only gives like these flippant responses, and I was like, wow, so both his parents are total jerks, and they're, you know, and his father's
right.
like haunting him. Luke makes a remark in this episode about if you leave this house, like, the ghost could follow you. And so then I thought, oh, that does seem to be happening with him, because this was at a bowling alley, and previously he saw his dad at a mini golf place. And so I guess the father's ghost can leave, can go travel, or unless it's, like, an amusement park that he's haunting or something.
I mean, other than maybe him not necessarily getting what he wanted this episode from his father, I mean, I don't think that he's upset that he sees his father normally, you know.
Well, I don't know about that.
Funny.
I just think
I consider it haunting, but yeah.
Well,
I mean.
He's not haunting him.
Yeah.
But he's, you know, he's
traveling. Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
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 Because that's
right. Yeah, I thought.
Although, I don't know. I kind of wondered, and I might be wrong, but just thinking of it, once was it the bowling alley and once was it like the batting cage, right? What I was kind
once
of wondering,
was the batting cage,
completely
yeah.
wrong.
Wasn't once at mini
but
golf?
But it's possible since it was at bowling alley, batting cage, mini golf, that might be one
like an amusement
like
complex
fun zone thing. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like that might be all one
yeah.
place. I don't know. I
yeah,
kind of wonder because it is sort of all related areas. But I honestly don't know. I'm just, you know, guessing.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought his father was a total jerk at the end. So, and look, we haven't even really talked about the mystery at all because it wasn't it wasn't that scary either, right? Like, oh my God, there's a Slinky, a haunted Slinky. Like, it just wasn't a scary mystery either. It wasn't really that scary.
No, yeah, you're right. It wasn't scary. And that's what I said. I remember it was like as much as he got a little violent. It wasn't necessarily like an evil ghost either.
I don't know if it
needs to be, but that's kind of what I don't know. I guess you expect in this show, so it was a little different, I guess.
Well, and the ghost was actually kind of helping him make better music, right? Like the musician.
So when he talked to him, it helped him out. So he wasn't always bad. There's different kinds of ghosts that do different things in this show. So.
Yeah. It was just not a good, it's not a well executed, well written, and well plotted episode. In my opinion, they didn't have a good balance of like the ghost story versus like,
The ghost story was definitely weaker in this episode compared to some of the other ones.
It was almost non-existent. It was like all people sitting around in this nice house talking and like, ooh, there's a toy. Like a couple toys appeared and then suddenly, and then I just felt it was really not well balanced with this like, went into too much detail. Like it almost felt like the writer had an axe to grind or a point they were trying to make or or was really interested in this like, you know, aspect of like diving into all of this like still, I don't know.
Yeah.
Also, so it was also a little weird to me because this is not news that these kinds of places existed in the 60s. And the way in which Phil seemed to be surprised to find this type of history in the local diocese was surprising to me. Like, this is not news to anyone who's paying attention at all that these places existed and were not happy places necessarily. I mean, I knew a girl in the 80s who went to a place like this.
More for the audience reveal, but it's kind of the way it played out, I think.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe,
it might have made more sense if maybe it was a different character that had
discovered it. Yeah, Phil would be like, yeah, that's one of the reasons I left this corrupt institution.
Yeah.
It was, to me, not a great episode. And didn't hold my attention that well. So anyway, but we can, what else? Oh, so let's move on to another not great episode of Roswell, shall we? Okay, so you just watched it. What'd you think?
Yes. I agree. It wasn't great. And we kind of texted about it a little bit. They better not kill Kyle because he's, like, the best character in the whole show. I'm glad that they stole figuring out who the funeral was and that. I don't, and this is what we were talking about, is that to me it makes no sense the fact that they were covering up this murder, though, because it was the racist guy from Bones that, that's how I know him, he's from Bones, but it was the bad racist guy that killed him. I mean, yeah, to begin with, it was, well, I don't want to say it was an accident. I mean, he still killed him. He still pushed him, whatever, but I mean, he didn't mean to kill him per se. But regardless of any of that, there's no reason they would have covered that up. It makes no sense.
Correct.
Yeah,
I totally agree with you.
I mean, they found out, I don't want to say in time necessarily, but they found out Max got there, so I'm guessing that he's probably going to save him. And it'll probably make him sicker, and then his clone will save him. I don't know. I mean, I don't mind the fact that the clone's not, or seems to be not bad. I said before that I don't want it to be like, it was with Noah, so to me, if they made him evil, it was more the same storyline. But they've made him very untrustworthy, even when, like, I feel like you were supposed to believe him. I still felt like as much as he was supposed to be telling the truth, like, he's very not likable. Well, none of the characters are all that likable. We've had this discussion. But I feel like the Jones character is made to be very unlikable, and as much as you're supposed to believe him, he seems untrustworthy. And like we had this discussion, he obviously shot the dog, which was not cool. He didn't mean to. He obviously must have helped the dog fairly early on, but they just didn't show that. But, like, he's still for a while let the poor dog sit there after being shot, which I have a problem with more than anything. But apparently he was able to heal him. And I don't know. I mean, at least Michael went back and found Max, although I don't think they really should have been that mad at him for putting Max in the cage to begin with because they put him in a cage. So I really didn't even have that big of a problem with that to begin with. I was annoyed at the Liz stuff, too, going on in the background.
Because it was pointless?
I find that guy that likes her, I don't trust him, and I thought that they were going to have it. I don't know if maybe you were supposed to think it was coming, but I thought maybe they were going to have it that he was going to try to kill her or something, that maybe he's knows something and is trying to get her to do science or something, because they made you think maybe it was her funeral for like 5 seconds. So I don't know. I don't trust him in the fact that he's trying to get her not to quit. And I, to be honest, I also don't care. Yeah. I don't know. Just this whole season's a mess.
So I agree with you. I don't trust that guy either. And I wonder if he's trying to get her research or like, right. Like, I mean, you know, this company already, so I don't want to say they're, like, bad people, but they,
and
like,
I don't know that he necessarily
like,
even is working for the company. I don't trust him. Like,
so,
I don't know that he's necessarily doing it for their interest. I just think he's after something.
So this company already, Liz and he, his name is Heath, I think, discovered something that could help people with, like, spinal injuries, and the company sold it to a cosmetics company or something like that, right, a couple weeks ago. So they're not, I mean, they're not an inherently evil company, but they're bottom line driven, and Liz doesn't want to work there. So I'm not sure if this guy, like, he knows Liz has some research, and he's really just using her to help them make money, or if he knows something. But, yeah, I don't trust him either. I don't trust him either.
I feel like he knows something, and he's after the alien research. That's just my gut feeling. I don't know.
Possible.
But
I also felt like that entire
story wanted you to think he was going to do something. So I also felt like that could have just been like.
I also felt like that entire storyline was a gigantic waste of time, and like nothing happened. So we had to see like Liz have a dream. We had to see Liz go dancing. We had to see like all this stupid stuff that like. Like, nothing really happened.
Yeah, you know,
and then
part,
at the end,
you know, the part that was actually interesting even, which, again, these are the things that aren't even important to the story, but, like, I thought, like, the scenes with Kyle and Michael were decent, like, Michael acting like a human being for once. Like, they're kind of having a little bit of friendship was nice, and the whole radio thing, I mean, isn't necessarily that interesting, but out of everything, it was more interesting. That and Maria finding out what's going on, although her
Alice in Wonderland
weird vision thing is neither here nor there.
It's kind of not a good use of my time to have to watch Kyle and Michael do this, like, convoluted thing with the radio to find a secret message from his father that could have been, like, a letter that Kyle found in a book, right? It could have been, like, a lot easier for him to find a message from his father, whatever. I think the whole point of it was for Michael to be the only person to know that Kyle gets a page and goes to, you know, the Lopez Ranch, maybe. I thought the whole Jones stuff was a giant waste of my time because, like, Jones gets out of the cage, and we have to watch him, like, okay, so he shoots a dog and he heals the dog, and then he goes to Max's house and he looks around at a bunch of stuff, and he doesn't even really do anything. And then as soon as like Michael and Max find him, he's like, okay, you can put you back in the cage now. Like, there was no reason for Jones to like break out and have this like walkabout around town, only to like give Max a vision. I mean, Max, I don't know. I just felt like I felt like they didn't know how to fill an hour.
The purpose of healing Max anyway. I feel like, I mean, that's where it's headed. You know, he's gonna heal Max because they can't have Max have a bad heart for the show.
I'm irritated at having another whole season of Max's heart when we already had a season of Max's heart needing to be replaced, right? I just think all the Jones stuff was like, why did you have him break out only as soon as they find him? He's like, I'll go back to the cage now. Like, what was even the point of getting out?
Well, I think he's trying to prove to them he's trustworthy. But again, I don't care.
How?
That's the worst. I mean, I thought again, like the other part that was decent in the episode, I felt like was Rose's conversations with that
Wyatt.
Kid again,
Wyatt,
and he's like seeing that maybe, I mean, he even seems to see that yeah, something happened, and maybe he blamed them because of what happened. He seems to maybe see that, but. Again, like, that should not be the most interesting part of the episode. I do not care for the main characters in this show. I care for them less and less as time goes on. I didn't mind Isabel and Michael as much in this one. But I still, I mean, the fact that I half the time can't stand Max and Liz is, like, a big problem.
Well, Max, Max.
Why did they keep these people?
Max is, and always.
The actor's fault.
Max is and always has been a gigantic whiner. But, you know, I also felt like it was not a good use of the viewer's time to have to watch this, like so Isabel and Maria take drugs to somehow help them explore the mind space more, and they have this sort of hallucination where, you know, Liz is guiding them to, like, reveal their secret.
Why do they have to get through? The thing that I don't understand is why do they have to get through Isabel's secret? It's Maria's vision. That's what
all of it was dumb. Like, why couldn't they, I don't know why they couldn't be like, let's take drugs. And like, it could have happened so much faster. I just really felt like they were padding this episode out to fill up an hour to get to the point of, like, finally, like, Isabel finds a way. Isabel's getting stronger every week. I think maybe being near Jones. It's helping her get stronger, but also those glowing rocks that Michael found are helping them get stronger. And so it could just be that she's pressing and getting stronger and she helps Maria. Like, this whole, like, thing where, oh, she admits that she's always wanted to open a kickbox karate center or whatever. And then,
Kelly,
you know.
Where did that come from? That was out of left field. You know, the thing is, I feel like when I watch this, I feel like I'm watching it because, A, oh, look, there's something on the DVR I haven't seen. I might as well watch it. And B, we're going to talk about it on the podcast. Not that
That's
I have any interest in watching it. And I mean, I want to see it in a way. I want to know. But I just feel like every week I feel like, why am I watching it? Because all I think is I can't stand the characters. They didn't bother me as much this week. I found Isabel more likable this week. And I even found Michael more likable this week. But I still was annoyed by Liz and Max. And to me, they're the people you're supposed to like, and that's a big problem if you're not into the main character.
I like lately covering the show on the podcast because it's hilarious, Jamie. You never hate anything as much as you hate this. You have an ability to find
a
redeeming quality in shows. And you talk about this the way I talk about, like, The Walking Dead, or the way I talk other shows that we cover. It's hilarious to hear you get worked up.
I know how good the original was. Although, to be fair, I don't know if I saw the original now if I'd like it because I'm older, but I remember really liking the original. Like, I remember it was a really good show, and it's like, this is not that. This is definitely not that.
And did you read the books?
I said I had read the book. I read a couple books, but like I said before, I don't know if the books that I read were books based on the TV show
or the original books
the
show was
show, as opposed to the original books.
Yeah.
Because I think they might have been, you know how, like, a lot of times they have, like, the tie-in books that aren't episodes, but they're, like, based on shows.
Yeah.
I think that it might have been that as opposed to the original. I don't know. But I think the one thing that irritates me the most, and this is really stupid, and again, that may be from the original books, and it may be they changed it for the other series. I don't know. But all I keep thinking is, do they keep having them drink fingernail polish removal? They're supposed to be drinking Tabasco
acetone.
Sauce.
Acetone. In the book, is it Tabasco sauce?
In the other series, it's Tabasco sauce. And I just keep thinking, why are they drinking that? It's so different.
It's acetone. It's acetone, yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that fingernail polish remover? Isn't that what that is?
Yeah, that's the main ingredient, nail polish remover, is acetone. But
okay,
they,
that's what
they want. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a good, I mean, I watched those two shows back to back, and I was like, wow, I watched 2 hours of television and got about 20 minutes worth of story between the two of them. And then I just, as I was watching Kyle being like, I was like, oh my God, if they kill Kyle, Jamie and I are going to be so mad because Kyle's the best person on the show.
Kyle, I don't know I'm going to watch it anymore. It's like, yeah. I was mad enough about the dog. I was already like, you don't shoot a dog. I'm already mad at you right now for that.
Yeah. I assume Kyle will live because of
because otherwise, what was the point of them having the vision and trying to stop it?
Yes.
If they didn't.
What's the point of a vision? What's the point of a vision if she can't stop something? And also, so I could see like maybe
and
it's
also,
a twist.
I think he's
like
become the sheriff. I think it was definitely hinted at that he's going to decide to become the sheriff.
Oh, I don't think so. I think his mother needs to come back as a sheriff. I think that Kyle is not going to give up medicine and has no qualifications
to be
a sheriff.
Well, that's true. I didn't think of that. Well, either way, something with that. But, yeah, I guess that's true. He wouldn't want to give up the medicine. But
so here's a thought I just had. Could it be – this probably won't happen, but could it be like a fake funeral and they're covering up the murder sort of like – so this guy, Wyatt's friend or cousin or whatever, I forgot the guy's name, the guy from Bones, clearly is going to know that what he did to Kyle and that Kyle either can't survive that, or certainly if you survive that, you'd be in the hospital for like weeks and months, right? And if Max heals him, Kyle's going to be walking around normally like the next day, right? So could it be that they're covering up, like they're making it, him, like they're hiding Kyle and making, letting that guy think he, like, I don't know. Like, could it be covering up a murder? I don't know.
I get that,
like,
and that makes sense. But then if that was true, why would you be having a conversation saying we're covering up another murder? Like, when you're talking to your friend, you wouldn't be having that conversation. But, yes, I see what you're saying.
Well,
it was going to end up that Kyle was going to kill that guy. But
I thought
obviously
so, too,
wasn't
I thought that might happen. And correct me here. Max can heal, but he can't bring you back to life if you're dead, right? Max can just heal you as long as you're still alive, right?
I guess. I'm trying to remember. I thought wasn't Rosa dead, though? Or was she in the pod? God, it's been so long, I don't even remember.
I think she was in
the
pod. The
show wasn't
so
good enough
put,
for me to remember.
They could put Kyle in the
pod
also, right? Like, maybe if Max can't heal him, they could put him. Certainly Jones could heal him, right? I mean, even if Max is not strong enough, Jones has got to be strong enough to heal Kyle.
Even Isabel, like you said, seems to be stronger around him. I figure probably him and Max are both stronger together and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't think they're going to kill Kyle. If they do, I don't know. I'm going to keep watching this show.
I know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just irritated tonight at this show. I mean, I'm always irritated at this show, but I just feel especially irritated tonight. Like, I wasted my time watching that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was not great.
Also, I mean, it's not a great episode. I just felt like, again, watched so much of it and watched this whole episode for an hour and, like, almost nothing happened, and what did happen maybe doesn't make sense or was enraging to me.
Yeah, and I haven't told you, I don't understand that he keeps calling Max his boy like he's his son. He's a freaking clone. The fact that he thinks of him like his son makes no sense to me. That's just weird and creepy. I mean, I know it's not meant to be creepy, but it's just weird.
He was a baby and growing up to be, like, and he was raising the child, and you're not going to be like, I'm raising myself, right? Like, it's your son more than it is, like, I mean, you're not, like... How would your brain think about it? That you can't be like, it's me, right?
No, I
don't know
that he was thinking of it as itself, but the way he kept saying, my boy, give me my boy, that to me just was weird.
I know,
because
and to
I,
me,
I don't know.
To me, that made me think, to me, Jamie, that made me think that it's not Max, that it's Michael, that he's the dictator and Michael is his son. And Max is a clone, and that's a separate issue. Because he kept saying, he didn't ever say, give me Max or give me, he kept referring to him as like my son or my boy. And I was like, oh, I wonder if he's, and because I don't trust him, I think he might be.
You think Michael's the son and he's the dictator, you mean?
Yeah, that Jones is the dictator and Michael is really the son. And yes, there's also a clone that's Max.
That
but
could
that,
be slightly
because,
more interesting. I don't know that it makes any more sense, but it could be slightly more interesting than what they're doing.
Just Just because he kept saying, give me my boy, give me my boy, give me my son. He never said, give me Max, right? I mean.
It could just be bad, right? We're not sure. We'll find out.
Yeah. So, anyway, not great. Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's worth belaboring anymore.
Nope, we're done with that.
There you go.
Okay.
And they didn't even show preview. All right.
No.
Well, let's talk what if. I have a question for you guys before we talk about it. Is it going to be like a different character? And I don't want to say character because obviously it was based on a different character than the original story. But is each episode going to be like about a different story character,
was? Yes. It's an anthology.
That's what I was wondering.
Although Peggy will be back, she is going to appear next. No, she's going to appear once more, I think, this season, right? But she's going to be...
No, next season.
There's going to be a Peggy episode every season, they said. But I thought heard she's going to appear again this season somehow. Anyway, yes, Jamie. Next week, I think... Next week is Black Panther. No, the third week is Black Panther. Next week is... I forget. Anyway.
I'm not even sure what the next one is myself.
Like I said, I'm not really a Captain America fan, so I didn't really love that storyline to begin with. So I just had a hard time getting into it. I don't know yet how I feel about the show, but I didn't love the episode. I had a hard time paying attention, if I'm completely honest. Although I've been having to watch so much TV lately, though, for TCA, that it may just be I don't feel like watching any more TV. It may not be the fault of the show, if I'm, completely honest. So I'll have to see how I feel in a second episode. But like I said, I also feel like I was missing a big chunk of it because I don't know most of the original story. The only thing I kept thinking I think that really might have been Hugo Weaving, and I was curious.
Hugo Weaving was replaced by Ross Marquand in Avengers Endgame,
right? Oh,
but
he
got
such good impressions then. That's probably why it sounded like it.
He took over the role in the later movies. He took over for
right. But I mean, in the cartoon, he did his voice like him then, if that's the case, because it sounded like Hugo Weaving. But what was I going to say? Oh, is that little guy though? That they showed for like a couple minutes, the short guy that was in there, for lack of a better way of describing him. Is that the one? I don't know if you know who I'm talking about. If I tell you. Toby, I can't think of his last name.
Yeah, that's Toby. Toby.
From Doctor Who.
Yes.
He's a British actor. Okay, cool. I thought that was him. It looked like him. That's what I wondered. Okay, he's from Sherlock and Doctor Who and isn't he in Harry Potter too? I think he might be in Harry Potter. I'm trying to remember. Toby, I know who he is. You know who I mean then, so.
Toby
that's
cool. Jones.
I just wondered if that was him.
Toby.
Yeah, Toby Jones. That's it. Toby Jones. Yeah.
Yes, well, he's reprising his role from the movies also.
I couldn't remember if he was in the movie or not because, like I said, I didn't see the whole movie, so I didn't know. But, all right, cool.
Yeah, I mean, he's been in a lot of stuff. He's a very he's from Doctor Who, but he's been in a lot of other stuff also.
Right. That's just where I figured he'd know.
I mean, he was one of the main people in Wayward Pines, and he was in Agent Carter's show. I mean, Zola's a character in the MCU that he's been playing. But anyway, so if Captain America's not your favorite person in the MCU, that's fine. I mean, if you've seen Black Panther, if you've seen Guardians of the Galaxy, if you've seen, like, you know, these characters are going to be appearing in the series also.
Yeah. But I haven't seen Agent Carter either. So that's why I said I was kind of like, I just knew the basics of what had happened. So I think I didn't, a lot of it, I just couldn't really appreciate. Because obviously the point of it is how it's different. But I didn't know how it was different other than there's a female Captain UK because she wasn't Captain America. But,
I appreciate that. I do. I mean, I agree that if you were familiar with Captain America, this would be a more enjoyable episode. So, and with that, AJ, You and I probably had a different experience. I mean, I thought it was pretty good. There was a lot to like about it, and it was pretty fun. And I think, you know, having this come after Loki make, like, Loki, you know, the whole premise of Loki was, like, alternate timelines. And so that's basically what this whole show is about. So, it, you know, they flow nicely together. How'd you like it, AJ?
It was like watching the first Avenger, which was almost a two-hour movie in 33 minutes. I mean, it was essentially the same, you know, it was the same premise as the first Avenger, but with Peggy in the role instead of Steve Rogers. I liked the Hydra Buster. Which basically, essentially, Stark creates the Iron Man costume or the outfit before his son, obviously, because Tony's not even born yet. You know, and Steve Rogers ends up being the first Iron Man technically. So I like that. One thing I really liked was it's kind of gotten lost. And the Tesseract has been in a lot of the movies, and mm-hmm. it's kind of gotten lost over the course of it. The Tesseract is a space stone, and it can open portals, which we see at the end of the episode, and that's like its cool. You know, that's like its coolest feature of all the things it can do. I mean, yes, it's very powerful. Opens doorways to other galaxies, you know, to other realities and stuff. So, mm-hmm. you know, we get that squid-looking monster at the end there that ultimately is why, you know, Peggy's, instead of, you know, going in the ice like Captain America did, Peggy goes into this portal for 70 years and then pops back out one day. Fun fact, there has been a rumor circulating in the MCU that Haley Atwell is going to be in Multiverse of Madness as Captain Carter. So immediately fan theories are when she goes into that portal pushing back that squid creature, that's going to be how she ends up in the movie with Doctor Strange. I mean, it's going to, you know, it's not going to be like, she's not going to be like in the whole movie, but just a portion of the movie as he's bouncing around in the multiverse. I think, and we, mm-hmm. they think that's how she gets back, is Strange helps her get back to her reality.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I think is, you know, that's one thing I've always liked, not just with Marvel, but with anything. I love the, you know, interconnectivity of any series of shows, you know, anything like this, you know, like American Horror Story is a somewhat good example, even though it's an anthology and the same actors are playing different characters every season. There are connections to all the seasons. We don't know all the connections yet, but there's a, you know, a good handful of connections that we are aware of throughout the series. Yeah. I always like that interconnectivity like that. The only thing I really didn't like, I felt it was rushed, which again, like I said, you just put a 2-hour movie in 33 minutes, basically. So it kind of felt like it was all over the place.
And it was kind of unnecessary. So, I mean, I like the premise, like, what if Agent Carter gets the serum instead of Steve? But I felt like you did, that it really just rehashed the movie and like, everything happens really almost the same. Really, Peggy getting the serum doesn't really change anything in the end, right? Like, it's basically she goes through everything Steve did, except it was sexism on the side. Because, you know, she busts Bucky out of prison. She goes on the train. Like, okay, in the end, like, that giant squid thing isn't in the movie. But it really is basically the same as the movie, and it doesn't open up the idea that events can happen. I don't know. It was a rehash of the movie, which is fun. It's fun to see Bucky say, oh, you almost ripped my arm off, ha, 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 right? Because we know his arm really gets ripped off in the movie. And it's fun to see some things happen. But in the end, it was really, as you said, it was the same story. It was the movie condensed to 33 minutes in pretty much the same.
But
so it didn't really explore I mean, look, we have to win World War II in the end. Like, that's...
Right.
But,
one big difference, though, that you just made me think of is, in this, Bucky doesn't die, which means he joins
right.
the Howling Commandos, which means he doesn't become the Winter Soldier.
Right, and I thought there was a moment when Steve fell from the train that Steve maybe is going to be the Winter Soldier, but no, he ends up, you know...
Yeah.
I did, so in the beginning, I didn't like the Watcher, and I was like, oh my God, we're going to have a narrator? Like, what the hell, right? And I didn't like it. But then, you know, then it goes away and he comes
yeah.
back at the end. I didn't love the animation. So there are parts of it that were gorgeous, but overall, it felt very sort of not, I mean, animation has come such a, there are so many things you can do with animation, and it felt very two-dimensional to me. I mean, it's TV.
I actually read an article today about the animation.
But,
what's that, Jamie?
I said it looked like it was 3D animation made to look 2D to me.
Well, it
yeah.
kind of was sort of, well, you know, it was, they intentionally animated it old school because of the time period. That was,
so
that was a creative choice. Yeah, they mean, they're not all going to be like that.
Okay.
Interesting.
I mean,
each one's going to have different animation.
I did think that, you know, I think animation in general, like the action scenes, some of them were not great. Some of them were really very good, and you can see how animation, like a comic book style is possible in animation the way it's not in live action, right? And so some of the scenes of Peggy, like, leaping and jumping around felt very comic booky to me, but in a very good way. Like, I don't mean that as a criticism. Like, it was kind of cool to show the things that she can do. I loved her riding on, like, riding on Steve's back when he's in the Hydra Smasher, Hydra Stomper, whatever. Like, I liked that.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, there's been a lot of criticism that the voice work is not great. Like, these actors... It's awesome that they got almost all their actors back, notably not Chris Evans, interestingly.
Not Benedict.
They're
but...
clearly not all experienced voice actors, and I felt like they weren't always synced up with the animation. Like I don't know, like the voice, I don't know. I thought that the voice work wasn't necessarily great. And maybe that's a technical thing of syncing it, but, yeah. They're also not voice actors, right? They're just doing this on
actually, it's,
side thing.
There was a separate article that I read that actually whoever the actor was that did the voice for Steve, apparently fans thought he did a great job, but Sebastian Stan, people were,
like
bashing, they were going crazy on Twitter. They were giving him such a hard time on Twitter. Asking him, telling him that he already sounds like the Winter Soldier. Hi, I am Bucky. How are you?
It didn't really look like Sebastian Stan either. That was like the one character that me really didn't look like the actor.
Yeah,
I
felt like that too. But yeah, the animation was intentional. So like whatever the next episode is, the animation is going to be different from what I understand. But it was an intentional decision to kind of go old school animation with this.
I read that the guy who stood in for Chris Evans is one of the producers on the animation side, I think is what I read. Like, not an actor, but someone associated with the production filled in. And I haven't read anything about why they couldn't get him. But we know Chris Evans, has hung it up.
Because then they have to pay him.
It's done, right? Yeah. And everybody else is still under contract and has to do more movies, and he doesn't, right? So...
Well, even some of the people that are still under contract didn't do the voices either, and we're not sure why. Like, Cumberbatch didn't do his voice, and Brie Larson didn't do her voice. So there's a couple of people that are still in the MCU that didn't do their voices. Funny story, I actually heard about.
They're active.
That's what I figured too. One thing that I thought was pretty funny because Dave. Batista recently made a comment about him not being asked to do the voice, and somebody at Marvel was like, what do you mean you weren't asked? What are you talking about? Apparently, nobody ever asked Dave Bautista to voice Drax. Like, there was just, like, you know, it was just one of those things where somebody was, oops, did we forget to call Dave? type of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when they didn't have, yeah, like, when the producer didn't have him, he just figured that he didn't want to do it for whatever reason. He had no idea that Dave had never been asked.
Wow.
Which, you know, I mean, shit happens. I just thought it was a funny story.
Yeah, that is pretty funny. So these are going to play every once a week on Wednesday. So we'll have one.
Yes.
I think there's not that many of them, but we'll have one for the next few weeks to talk about. And, I mean, I'm glad to hear there's going to be different styles of animation and different I would like to see further episodes be a little more what if. Like, look, I love Agent Carter. I love Peggy Carter. Agent and I were both really mad when her TV show got canceled, and we, you know, it was great to see her. And I do believe, so I didn't know this, AJ. I went looking for, I know that you're always telling us how in the comic books, no, this person really does become the She-Hulk, and this person does become the Black Widow or whatever. And so I looked, and there was a little, like, one issue or a very brief time when Peggy was Captain Carter. That was a little thing they did in the comics, but she's not, like, a huge person in the comics,
no,
I think,
not.
AJ, maybe.
No, she's not nearly as fleshed out in the comics.
Yeah. So it's great to see her, like, be, and it looks like at the end when she meets up with, you know, Nick Fury and Hawkeye at the end, I'm like, oh, is Captain Carter going to get to be an Avenger in this what-if universe? It's kind of cool. To me, it would have been nice if we got to see more of that maybe and less of, like, a rehash of the movie, right? Like, this what-if is sort of like a whatever, like, nothing was different. And we finally get to something that can be different, but it's the last 1 second of the movie. It's like when we see, wow, I'd love to see, like, maybe they could have, like, only done 10 minutes of rehashing the movie and then 20 minutes of her getting to be an Avenger or something, right? That's a better what-if,
right,
maybe. So we'll see how they go with this. But it was fun. It's fun, right? It was a fun thing. It was better than the last two shows Jamie and I just talked about.
Yeah, that I would agree with that. Well, no, I like Surreal Estate, but then again, I'm trying to remember it too.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah, yeah. But Jamie, so you've seen other Marvel films. Like, I think there's maybe going to be a Thor one, a Thor what if. There's going to be a Black Panther. There's going to be some Guardians. So if you've watched other parts of the MCU, you might be more into them
than
this one.
Yeah, I never really, for whatever reason, I just never really liked Captain America. I don't know. I think, too, like, I liked them after some of them started to be less serious. Like, at least in my opinion, those ones are, like, the more serious ones.
Well, we all have a favorite. The original Thor, I fell asleep the first four times I tried to watch that movie. It was only my fifth Thor that I could watch the whole way through. Yeah, so we all have our less favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Characters and whatever.
You know what's bad? I never did see the end of Black Panther. I completely forgot. I never saw the end of it because I was watching it right before the Endgame or whatever when I was trying to catch up. And I, like, ran out of time because I was, like, watching it that night or whatever, and I had to leave to go to the theater, and then, like, I forgot about it until now. I forgot. It was good.
It's on TV all the time, so you should be able to catch it.
You have Disney Plus. Jamie, you have Disney Plus. Go watch it. I mean.
No, I'll do that. You're right.
Yeah.
I need to have time, and I need to sit down and do that.
Yeah, you could fast forward through it to the part you haven't seen.
Yeah, I'll probably just start over and watch it again.
Yeah.
I would like to watch the other ones.
Yeah. And next week is the Black Panther episode, right? So you'll want to
I'm not even sure what the next one. I think the next one is what if T'Challa is Star-Lord.
That is correct. That is next week's episode. What if?
Okay, well,
that's
technically not Black Panther, that's Guardians.
Well, it's what if T'Challa didn't become Black Panther, became Star-Lord. Yeah, so it's Guardians, but with this character
that
we should all be
familiar
with.
That's different.
And did you know this is his last acting gig. This was the last thing he did before he passed away.
Yeah, I remember them saying they got his voice.
Mm-hmm. So we'll have that to cover next week.
Yeah.
Great. Sounds good.
Cool. So,
and next week
right.
we will also have Walking Dead.
We will, yeah. For
lucky
better
you.
Or for worse, our last year that we have to watch Walking Dead. We're almost three.
You know, it's so funny It's so funny with the difference with a lot of the shows that we've covered for a long time. You know, Lost, Fringe, Walking Dead. It's funny how Lost it was. Oh, it's the last year of Lost, but maybe we'll finally get some answers. And Fringe was kind of more like, oh, it's the last year of Fringe. I can't wait to see what happens. Walking Dead is, oh, thank God, it's the last year of Walking Dead.
Yep, we only have to watch two other Walking Dead shows. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Until they start the other one.
You have to watch them.
No,
I know.
I mean, it's good. It's just they're milking it too much, I think. But I don't know. I did like
it. Not good. Well, we'll talk about that next week,
I am curious. But see, that's the thing. I'm curious to see how they end The Walking Dead, considering how the comics ended it. But the TV show already has two spinoffs and another spinoff coming. So.
Yeah,
the TV show, I mean, the comic book, you know, like ends when Rick dies, and Rick's been dead for years been missing for years, right? Everybody thinks he's dead on the show.
Well, the comic book also, the comic book also jumps ahead 20 years.
And Carl's dead in the show, right? So, like, So we'll see where the show goes. But the show is going to spin off. Carol and Daryl are getting their own show, right? And some other stuff. So, So we already know that Carol and Daryl won't die in this year on the show.
Yeah.
Unless it's about them as walkers. But I don't.
Which actually I think maybe takes away a lot of attention, except we know that those two characters are bulletproof. The only two real bulletproof characters on the show.
Which is kind of disappointing in a way, because there's... It's kind of disappointing that they've announced so long ago that they're doing this spinoff, because you think the last season, I know myself, if I was doing something like this, even if I wasn't going to kill them, I would definitely tease the hell out of it. Like, I would put them in some kind of peril where there's no way and so that the fans are actually like, oh my God, they're going to kill Carol or they're going to kill Daryl, but nobody's going to feel that way, which they probably do at some point, put Daryl in a predicament where there's no way he's getting out of it, but everybody's like, well, he has a spinoff, so he's going to be fine.
Sure.
They're shooting themselves in the foot with the story.
Yeah, the way Kirkman kept the comic going until, like, finally Rick is killed, by the end of it. I mean, it's a little unfortunate. Look, we don't have to dwell on this right now, but we talked a lot how the comic book was, in many ways, was meant to be like Carl's story, right? The story of the child like raised in this, which by killing Carl and like Judith just doesn't fill that role. She's too, So, but we'll talk, I guess we'll see what they're going to do with it. It might be 13 episodes, I think. No.
I don't know.
Actually it's long. Isn't it like 24 episodes split into two seasons? Or is this the second half of that season?
I'm not positive, but yeah, I think it's in the 20s.
Oh my God!
Wow.
I believe so.
God.
Okay, that used to be like every show. That used to be normal. That used to be a normal show for most of our lives. A normal show was 22 episodes, right?
Yeah.
So anyhow,
some still are.
Some still are.
Have 12 seasons, but they're calling it 11. In other words.
Yeah. Calling it 11, but it's really 12. Yeah. So, we'll have that next week. I think that's the only new thing. And then AJ and I still tonight have one more show to talk about, American Horror Stories.
Yep.
And then that'll be it for this week, right?
I guess I'm done then because I don't watch that. So
I know. You have like 12 more hours of TV to watch probably for your job. So
yeah. Yeah, well, I gotta do.
Yeah.
I'm ready. Yeah. Ready for bed, but I have more to watch.
Yeah.
All right.
So,
well, have a great night, guys. And like I said, if people have Lucifer questions for Kevin, they can send them to me on Twitter. All right. Have a good night.
Cool. All right. Good
Bye-bye.
Night, Katie.
Bye-bye.
Night, Jerry.
Bye. Okay. So we just have American Horror Stories, I think, is the only thing we have left.
Yep.
This week was
Feral.
Cody Fern in the Woods. It was called Feral, that was the title of it? Yeah.
Yeah.
This did a good job of being like a, kind of a scary episode. They did a good job of like, I went to the woods last week. I went, I live in the city, and remember last week there was that meteor shower? And my friends and I went out to, like, way out in the county to, like, some dark place to try to see meteors, which we couldn't because, it was too cloudy. But it was so dark, and I was, like, every car that came by, I was like, oh, there are murderers in that car. And every set, like, city people, when we go out to the woods, we get really nervous, right? Because in the city, I can see murderers coming at me, I guess, by the streetlight, right? Like, in the city, you can see
there
what's around you. I was creeped out. I was like, it's really dark out here. And you might, it was creepy. So maybe that was in my mind a little bit as I was like, oh, my God, why would you go camping, like, away from the campground, like, right from the beginning, you know, right? But I thought it had a good job of being pretty scary. I thought that there were some twists and turns that maybe were unexpected. It did have a little bit of a ripped out of the X-Files kind of feel once in a while. It kind of felt like an X-Files episode in some ways. Particularly some of the visuals, right? So what did you think? How'd you like it?
I wasn't a huge fan of the episode. The first thing I noticed was Aaron Tveit was in another, because he played the carpenter in the contractor in Murder House. The dad.
Oh yeah. Oh, he was that. You mean just a couple episodes ago, that bad contractor who was.
Yeah, the first. Yeah, the second. Second episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who got killed in the murder house?
And Cody Fern played Michael in Apocalypse.
Yeah. Well, obvious. You mentioned Cody Fern already. That Cody Fern was obvious. Yeah.
And then the woman. The actress. She's new to. I don't know who she is. But she's new to AHS. So what parts of it underwhelmed you? I know what parts kind of underwhelmed me, which was the creepers in the woods, the villains.
I felt it was very slow and it just didn't grab me. You know, I thought it was
really,
I thought it was pretty obvious, you know, the kid disappears. Okay, obviously, whatever, these creatures in the woods took the kid. It was funny at first. It took me a minute to realize there was a 10-year time jump. Because at first I thought, the way it transitioned.
There was a title card that said 10 years later. Yeah, you missed a title card that said 10 years later.
I missed the title card.
Yeah.
Okay, that would explain that.
Yeah.
But that guy when he says, "Hey, this picture looks like your kid would be at you," and I was like, "This guy's bogus." I don't know. It was very telegraphed. It did feel like an X-Files episode. I did get that same feeling. Even at the end, the whole time I'm like, the kid is going to be like the leader of these people now, and sure enough, the kid's sitting in a throne,
Yeah,
I thought that was pretty great.
I did
like the ending when they were like, it turns out they have their own language and he speaks to the kid and like the kid has like recognition of them for a minute and he's like, who are these people? And he's like, dinner.
Yeah.
Like, Oops.
So
it was better than the it was better than the frat boys one, but it was still just kind of kind of bored me.
Yeah, I mean the frat boys one at least was, I mean, it was, I'm not saying it was good social commentary, but at least there was this element of like the writers being like, let's have fun with this sort of like influencer kind of thing, right? This YouTuber kind of thing. I really started to feel like a little bit of an X-Files ripoff to me at that moment where they're trekking through the woods and they pass between like a tree. You get the, you see the back of like a, okay, they're not Big Feet, but I'm going to call them a Bigfoot. You see the back of like the Bigfoot. And then you see they walk past the stump and the stump moves and it's a person, right? Remember
yeah.
That
was pretty cool. But actually, the funny thing is I saw both of them before they moved. I was like, how did they not see them? I was like, I saw them.
The same way, right? Yeah, I felt the same way. But that felt like a very X-Files-y kind of thing to me.
Yeah, no, it definitely did.
Like, I feel like that was ripped right out of the X-Files, which maybe is fine. We like, so you could call it ripping off the X-Files, or you could call it inspired by the X-Files.
Well, you know what? Even, you know, I can go back even further. I mean, it had it mostly, it felt to me kind of like, it was very reminiscent of The Hills Have Eyes. That was the main vibe I got from it.
Yeah, definitely.
So, I mean, it was, you know, kind of like an homage type piece. But it just didn't really grab me.
So how did you like the character of the park ranger? I think, you know, there were some they tried to have some misdirects there. And I think there are some moments where you think maybe he's like,
in on it.
Like you said, in on it. Like, especially with, I can't talk about it. And I'm like, oh, he's made a deal with these cannibals to leave him alone or whatever. And then he goes into this long monologue about how the National Park Service is actually like a cover for, like, that was, I mean, to me, that tale was so far-fetched as to be, I don't know, is that a weakness of the episode because that is so far-fetched? I mean, there are elements of it that are kind of, I don't know, it's a very Fox Mulder-y kind of conspiracy thing, like these things that have existed for centuries in the woods and people don't know about it, but the idea that the government created the National Park Service to like hide it was a little, I don't know, like, would you, I don't know, maybe it was over the top, but AHS is, its whole thing is being over the top, right?
Over the top, yeah. I did find it hard to believe that these trained soldiers were taken out so easily by cannibals. I was kind of like, really, like, I can buy the cover up, you know, that the whole thing was just to keep it under wraps. I could buy that part, but you know, these soldiers going in and clearing them out every once in a while, that felt hollow because they were so easily overrun themselves.
Yeah, and like Ranger Rick says, oh, they forgot they were dealing with humans. They're dealing with animals. But, you know, that all was a little.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there were moments when I thought maybe he's one of them or he's in on it with them or he's, you know. And then, you know, that's not correct. And he gets eaten. I mean, the kid being their king is, I mean, it was a little predictable. It was still kind of campy fun. It kind of makes no sense that they would kidnap this 3-year-old. I don't know why they would kidnap the 3-year-old in the first place. And then why he becomes their king.
How filling could he have been? He was tiny.
He's not enough for a meal. But he appears to have no... In fact, I didn't like the way they had him have a very vacant look on his face and slack-jawed with his mouth open. That he looked like he was maybe mentally ill or like I don't know, like.
No,
like
I know
there,
exactly
it
what
made
you
it
mean.
Look like there was something wrong with him. Who, I mean, he was a healthy child when he left. Like, it made it look like he was. I think it would have been scarier if it made him look like more cunning and right. Like, I don't know. It bothered me that they made him look like that sort of cross-eyed, vacant-eyed, flat-jawed look
well,
that he had.
Apparently eating people makes you disintegrate or something. I don't know.
Well, it's clearly it's not good for you, right? I think it's not good for you.
Apparently.
Makes you, yeah, maybe he had some developmental delays from having a poor diet. But
there you go.
I think it would have been a little scarier had he been a more, like that also goes to the point of, like, why are they worshiping, like, the, like a person who looks not to be, like, leadership quality, maybe. I don't know.
You know what, though? Maybe that's something, not for nothing. I mean, that's all we, I mean, this is purely speculation because obviously we didn't get enough info, but maybe that's actually what they do. Maybe that's how they grow in ranks. They kidnap children to continue. It's not like, I don't think they're having babies out in the woods there.
Oh, maybe they're like, sterile from inbreeding or something.
Well, not, you know, whatever the case is, but that's, you know, what I'm saying
yeah.
is like maybe that's
yeah.
how they keep their population is by kidnapping children.
Well, because in the credits, the opening credits, there were, they showed a bunch of like news clippings of like missing children. It said like 12-year-old goes missing, and I mean, it did talk about like,
right.
missing people. So maybe.
Yeah, they did that touch on it a little bit.
I mean, the whole thing feels a little bit like a horror story that you would tell around a campfire, you know, when you're sitting in the woods at the campfire and you tell a horror stories about cannibals
right.
in the woods or whatever, that spun into an hour or 40 minutes or whatever these are, right?
Yeah, it was like, it wasn't even, I think it was 40
yeah.
minutes, it was like 38.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess to me some of the scarier parts were like, when they're trekking through the woods with the, you know, that guy who, I mean, yes, it was kind of
Butcher,
obvious
whatever
that he was scamming them, but like all that, like trekking through the woods was a little like, was it scary? It was very tense, right? Like, I think they did a good job. I know
yeah.
this, you found this kind of boring, but I thought they did an okay job of building some tension of like, particularly like people who are uncomfortable in the woods, being in the woods. Maybe it's in my mind from being out in the woods last week and being like,
I was
going to
say,
God,
that it's probably a better episode for people like you.
Yes. But, I mean, look, I spent some time, like, I've been camping. I'm going hiking later, like, next month for a few days. But, like, the dark is, you know, like, maybe it was on my mind from being, like, you know, there was nobody around and, yeah. Also, and I still have like freaking like 20 mosquito bites from it. I have like a Alyssa level of mosquito bites from that, from like 20 minutes in the woods. But anyway, so I didn't dislike it as much as you did, but it definitely felt like nothing new. Like, I'm sure we saw that in the X-Files, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they, you know, and they took it from Bigfoot to cannibals, which was an interesting. I mean, they're never going to do like Bigfoot or something normal on American Horror Stories, right? They're not going to. It's not like the way the X-Files was interested in investigating these kind of like urban legends and things in our culture and society. Like I feel like American Horror Stories always, like, invents their own thing, which is good. That's not a criticism, right? But this maybe was better than the movie that makes you turn into a cannibal. I don't know. Maybe that was better, the drive-in movie where everybody who watches the movie turns into a cannibal. That was, like, three episodes ago. Maybe this was better than that episode.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, these are in general not... I mean, none of them are fantastic. Maybe the baby, the one with the baby, and it turned out that the husband was scamming her. I mean, maybe that's my favorite one so far. I'm not sure. Well, Murder House was probably the best. But these are not, I mean, we're accustomed to like a multi-episode, we're accustomed to like a 13-episode season, and we're getting like, you know, an anthology. And maybe that's part of why these are not as satisfying.
I don't know. I mean, I'm fine with, I mean, the only episode, I mean, this, like I said, this, I didn't hate the episode. I just found it a little slow and boring. The only episode I was really like, was the, which was just kind of quirky fun, was the Bro House. Everything else I've liked. Yeah. I love the episode with – I love the last week's episode.
Was that the baby?
With what's-her-face there. Yeah.
Billy Lord, the baby. Yeah, that was really – that was great.
Thank you, Billy Lord, yeah.
Yeah, the bros were kind of – I mean, that was like a slasher flick, right? That was like a teenage summer slasher movie episode. So – I don't know what next week is. They don't they don't give you a promo. But this is now episode five, I think, right? So
yeah. So next week's this. Finale.
Yeah. But that's okay because the regular show will be back in the fall. Right?
Yes, 25th. I want to say.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the 25th.
Did you see the trailer?
No. This is double feature this season? Is that what it's called? Double feature?
Yes, double feature, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen the promo.
Yeah, I watched the trailer yesterday, and I don't know what to make of it. It looks like it's going to be fun, though.
All right, I'll have to check it out then. Yeah. So, all right. So I guess we'll have our regular slate next week, and we'll be waiting for – I mean, we'll be adding Walking Dead and some other stuff coming. I think I mentioned to you – I texted you guys I finally started watching The Mandalorian, so eventually we'll get another season of that, and I'll be ready to watch it. I'm still in season one of The Mandalorian, trying to catch up on all my stuff. But in the meantime,
all
right. I guess this is it. Short show. Have a good week, AJ.
You too. And we'll do it again next week. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And
thanks a lot.
That's it for tonight.
Bye-bye.
Good night, folks.